Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We study this theme, Family Seasons. Lesson 11, Families of Faith. Hold fast what is good. In the time of the early church, the Jews, the people of God, they had such a strong conviction, we are the Jews, and the rest, heathen. They don't know anything about God, they are lost, damned. So, condemned. And in this attitude, it was difficult for the gospel to to go across the border. Because all the others that were not Jews, they were kind of strange people. And a Jew wasn't allowed to enter the house of a non-Jew. So how did God manage that the first Christians crossed the border? There was an officer of the army, we read this in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a very pious, believing person, and he got a vision. And an angel told him, send your servants to the apostle Peter. He shall come and preach to you. So he sent his delegate, and in the meantime, Peter was on the roof of the house where he was at that moment, prayed. Then he saw a piece of cloth and unclean animals, beasts in it. And when he heard the voice of God, kill and eat. He said, oh no, I've never done that before. Unclean meat. And the vision is repeated a second time, a third time, and Peter doesn't know what this is all about. And then the delegates of the officer of the Italian army, they are there asking for Peter. We are sent by our master if he should come to Caesarea, and so on and so on. And when they arrive, Peter gets the direct information from heaven. Go with them. I have sent them. Now that's important, isn't it? I have sent them. Now what does this mean? But it isn't. Italian person. He's not a Jew. And I should go to this house, enter this house, speaking to the people there. But God told me. Okay, so Peter, he went, accompanied by some of his friends, and when they come there, the officer of the army, Cornelius, he falls down in front of Peter. He, the Roman officer. This is unbelievable. But this Italian person, he had discovered, my boss is in heaven. He is the chief of the army. And Peter, when he comes into this house, he sees people already assembled. They wait for him. And during his sermon, the Holy Spirit, it fell on them. And Peter is astonished. His companions, they are astonished. They can't believe their eyes. Non-Jews receiving the Holy Spirit. Wow. Later on, Peter was criticized, heavily criticized. You have gone to a heathen person, into the house. You know we are not allowed to do this. And Peter's argument, God told me to do so. And God sent the Holy Spirit. I do not have the power. I'm not in control of the Holy Spirit. God sent it. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Any more questions? That's how God works, to cross barriers in mind. The power of culture on family. We have several examples in the Bible how the culture around you forms you. When Abraham and Sarah got this promise, you will get a baby, but nothing happens. Then Sarah, because under the influence of society around her, gets the idea, maybe it's like this. My slave, Hagar, I will give to my husband. And if she gets pregnant, the baby will be my baby. She is a person doing it for me. It was used around in society. So she was a child of her age, a child of her culture. And when we read about Jacob having fled to Mesopotamia because of his twin brother who wanted to kill him, and there he married Leah and Rachel, and then they fled after 20 years. Jacob had already a lot of children. And Laban, his brother-in-law, says, why have you stolen my God? They were descendants of Abraham. And why had Rachel taken it? She was in a way formed by the culture of society. And when the Israelites, after having been 70 years in Babylon, could go back to Israel, there were several movements. Then the scribe Ezra discovered the Israelites, many of them, men, had married women of other cultures, other language, other religion. And God had said, don't do that. There were children who weren't able to speak their Aramaic language because of their mothers who came from somewhere. And Ezra said, all those mothers, those women, those wives who are still in their religion and those who don't want to change, send them away. And what was the problem of King Solomon? He had a lot of women around him, many of them became his wives, and their culture informed the thinking of the king. Their religion formed the thinking of the king. And day by day, year by year, King Solomon, the wisest of all the kings, became a fool. It was the culture, a pressing of the culture on the mind. So let's look at our culture. What is not in harmony with the Word of God? Yeah, but everybody lives like that. Yeah. But is it in harmony with the Word of God? And if it's not in harmony, forget about it. It's for the dustbin, but not for you. Stay to God's principles and do not allow strange foreign cultures and cultures of your area produce anything in your mind which is against the Word of God. Be careful. Sustaining families through seasons of change. Seasons of change can be dramatic. Catastrophes in nature, earthquake, hurricane, death, disaster, illness, war, career failure. You lose your job. And you lose your income. And suddenly, everything breaks down. So, some changes are predictable, and some are not. Some are suddenly there. And we have examples in the Bible how changes influenced families. For example, one day, Abraham, he lived in Mesopotamia, Ur, Chaldea. One day, he got the order, the heavenly order, go away. I will send you to a land. I will show it to you. And I want you to be the father of a holy nation. And he should leave his city, his relatives, his tribe. So all the security he should leave behind, starting a new life somewhere else. He was now a foreigner ordered by God. And it was a big change. And this is not so easy. Just go away. Or when we think of Hadassah, she lost her parents. She was an orphan. But her cousin, Mordecai, he took care of her. And she was such a beautiful young woman that delegates of the king became aware of her. And the most beautiful women were brought together. And the king should choose. And all of them were very, very beautiful, we can imagine. It was a collection of Miss Worlds. Why was she chosen to be queen in Persia? They were all beautiful. So which one to take? It was the character of Hadassah, Esther, which impressed the king. She was not the same. She was different in a positive way. When we think of Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, the friends of Daniel, they were taken captive, Babylonian captivity for 70 years. They were young, 17 years old. And they had a chance to attend to college in Babylonia. And then they get this Babylonian food, unclean food. Oh, what to do? Oh, we have a big chance. If we study the right way, we can come to the top in Babylon. We should eat, shouldn't we? No. We want to be loyal to God. And they asked to be treated in a special way according to use of food. And it was granted. They were different, but in a positive way. And they got afterwards top positions in Babylonia. They were loyal to God. Towards the first generation faith. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and when they had to wander for 40 years because of their unbelief, and then the entrance to Israel, Canaan, Moses died and Joshua became the leader. And this Joshua, he was the one when Jericho was captured, when the walls crumbled down, when all the land was captured, all the peoples that had lived there were, they won victories over them. And when all the land, the properties were given to each of the tribes, the families, Joshua, he was the last to get a piece of land. And there's a name in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, for that. And it means, in English, the rest. Joshua took the rest, what was left. He was the first one. He was the leader. So it happened just in the way, as nowhere it will happen. He, as the leader, waited to the very last time. When everything else was settled, then he took the rest. Not as the first best property. Here, I will live for my family. The last, a type of Jesus. And when Joshua had died and all those of his companions who had seen the wonders, the miracles of the Lord, how Jericho had been captured and so on, then there was a new generation. And this new generation who had not seen these miracles, they left God. Now they had the land, the piece of property. They had what they wanted. They had the houses. And they had all the things they wanted to have. And then they left God. And soon, enemies came and took the land and the goods and so on. They had forgotten the history, how God had led them. Therefore, Ellen T. White, at her address, and she was the last time at a general conference, she said, "We have nothing to fear for the future. There's only one point we have to take care of. Let us not forget how the Lord has led us in the past." So the Bible is a book of people who lived with God and how God worked with them. And we should know it for ourselves, that we can copy the faith of these persons. It was a special faith. And then they saw how the Lord worked miracles for them. It's important to know holy history as we find it in the Bible. It was a subject in the school of the prophets. And in this school, the portions of the Bible were written. In the school of the prophets. Without these schools, no Bible would have been written. Very important institution, the school of the prophets. 21st century runners. Years ago, Jesus was as a human being on this planet, and afterwards the 12 apostles and the other early believers, they spread the gospel in the Roman Empire and crossed even the border of it. And there was a fire from heaven among them, the Holy Ghost. Now we end the 21st century. How can we transfer across 2,000 years this fire that it will burn now? Reformation. Awakening. How can it happen? In those days, 2,000 years ago, the disciples had a shock when they saw Jesus on the cross. And when he was dead, they couldn't believe that such a chance had been missed. And they were shocked, deeply shocked, and ran away. But then, the risen Savior appeared, and they could see him again. And he was alive, not dead. And that changed everything. And the disciples, before that happened, they were just like that. And then, full of fire, the appearances of the resurrected Jesus, it changed their mind. They discovered, it goes on, and we are the ones who are going to tell everybody, he is risen from the dead. Oh. And the gospel was spread throughout the Roman Empire, and even across the borders. And we need this fire. How to get it? In 1844, 22nd of October, 100,000 people waited for the return of Christ. And then he didn't come. It was a great, great disappointment. Now, what to do now? And 100,000 Adventists, you couldn't see them anymore. Only about 30 people stayed together, studying the scriptures. Where is the mistake? Where have you made a failure? So they came together, and one of them, Hiram Edson, walking through a cornfield, had a vision. He saw Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary. He had a vision of the resurrected Jesus. As the first disciples had a vision of him when he appeared after the crucifixion, the resurrection. And in 1844, this appearance of the resurrected Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary changed everything. And this tiny, tiny, tiny group of Adventists, it started anew. And today, there are 20 million living. How could that be? It was the fire, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It took care of them. And then it was spread throughout this planet. We need this fire to burn and burn to continue. Summary. The early church, they soon became a persecuted church. And the Roman emperors, they made very harsh actions, restrictions to the early Christians. They wanted them to bow down in front of a statue of the emperor. And they did not, because of the second commandment. And such Roman emperors, they had the power. And they thought, well, you will bow down. You will do so. I will force you to bow down in front of my statue. But for them, for the early Christians, these were idols, images of idols. And the emperors, they had horrible ideas. They said, we will kill you through lions, wild beasts, they will devour you if you do not bow down. And they did not. And thousands assembled in the Colosseum in Rome and had a look at these Christians dying for their faith and were impressed. Why were they not afraid of death? They knew about the resurrection. They knew, he will resurrect me as he was resurrected. That was their power. They knew it. They were sure about it. This fire was in them. And this we need. Remember 1521, Martin Luther, the great German reformator in Worms, in front of the Emperor, Charles V. Diet of Worms, 200. Of the upper class, leaders, they were there. Now, you have to reproach, otherwise you are dead. So Luther was addressed. And he knew, they will kill me. And did he say, oh, sorry, I've been wrong, I confess? No. I said, if you cannot show me out of the Holy Scripture that I have wrong ideas. I will not do what you want me to do. I will not go back to the Roman Catholic faith. I've discovered the original faith in the Bible, and I want to live according to this. And the emperor ordered, after Luther had left, that everybody who wanted to kill him could do so without being blamed for it. And Luther lived for 25 years from this time on, and nobody killed him, although everybody could have done so. The Lord protected him, because Luther had been loyal to him. And we need for our families this fire. And we will get it when we study history, the holy history, out of the Bible. And when we read the book, The Great Controversy, and we see through the centuries how it worked, how this torch was passed on from generation to generation. And if you are on fire, your children, your church, is it set on fire because of you? Because of the Holy Spirit which is in you? If you're a minister, a preacher, you can only set a church on fire if you are on fire with the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, it's impossible. We need awakening and reformation. That is fire that started 2,000 years ago. We go on and on till the return of Jesus Christ in heaven.